In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when you pray, or when you're going to come to the service, any service really, but especially services that are especially festive or important, such as this one, the Sunday before Great Lent, or Pascha, or Theophany, or any service that's really kind of special to you? Do you feel a sense of urgency, a sense of expectation when you come into the church that something is going to happen to you? I hope you do. I feel that all the time. Every vigil, I have this excitement that something's going to happen to me. I'm not going to see it, and I'm not going to feel it. But it's going to happen. Something in my soul is going to change that needs to change. And that feeling is even stronger at the beginning of Great Lent. This Great Lent is going to be filled with an enormous amount of activity for me. I'm going to be traveling all over the place. It's going to be very hard. So on a human level, I'm really kind of thinking, I don't know if I can do this. But my heart, my soul feels this excitement, this expectation, and a sense of urgency. And you should feel that too. Now, if you don't feel a sense of urgency when you come to church, ever, or very, very rarely, that's a warning sign. That's dangerous. Because the purpose of your life is perfection. You should be excited about that. You should desire that with all your heart, more than anything else. And so you should cultivate in yourself this feeling of urgency, expectation, joy that you're going to change. Yeah, the change is very slow, and that's too bad for us. It's very slow, very painstaking. Sometimes we take two steps forward and a step backward. But even so, God will help us. Great Lent is a time of urgency, a time of looking at life differently than you look at it usually. It shouldn't be substantially different. You shouldn't be a Christian in Lent and not a Christian outside of Lent. You shouldn't be self-indulgent outside of Lent and fast inside of Lent. But you should have more focus. We can only focus for so long. We're like that in everything. You can't sprint for a long time. You get too tired. You can't lift weights for a long time. You get too tired. You can't study something that's difficult hour after hour. You have to take a break. In the Christian life, it's like that too. We have times of feasting, times of fasting. Now we are coming upon the time of fasting. It's really, I think, unfortunate that we call it the Great Fast. And that we think first when, if you were to do word association, you know, and say, what do you think of when you see this word, Lent? People would say, fast. But that's not what Lent is primarily. I would say Lent for me and for the church is renewal. Being made new. Being brought closer to perfection. That's what the epistle says. Now, it's not speaking specifically about Great Lent, but the words apply perfectly to this time of urgency, this time of expectation, and this time of joy. Listen to what the apostle says. And that, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. There's the urgency. We must get up. We must get out of bed. We must take up our bed and walk. We must struggle for the virtues. Fasting is only 1% of Great Lent. Now, it's a very important 1%, but it's 1%. Great Lent is a time of renewal, of your soul changing, of you, as the apostle says, casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light. Cultivate in yourself excitement about this. I'm really tired. I just confessed to you, really tired. I'm counting the days till I can get away. My wife and I have a planned vacation in Florida, but it's 102 days away, I believe. But I'm excited about Great Lent because something's going to happen to my soul that I need. That without that change, I cannot be saved. So I'm excited about Great Lent. The apostle says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. In a spiritual way, what that means is all of the time we waste, it's all gone. It's the night. The things we do that make no difference. The things we do that actually hurt us and hurt our loved ones. That's the night. That's the darkness. The day is at hand. Our Lord is going to rise from the dead. Of course, he already has risen from the dead, but we are looking in our mind's eye towards that day of resurrection, which really is not a historical event. It is a universal event. It's happening now. It didn't stop with his resurrection on that third day after Friday. It's continuing. So the day is at hand. Let us seize that day. The apostle says just before these words that I just quoted, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. That comforts me. I can see in my own sinful life that yes, indeed, my salvation is nearer than when I first believed some, I guess it's 30 years ago, a little more, 1980. You should be excited about that and comforted by that. The things you do during Great Lent will help your soul. Now, you're not going to do a good job. None of us do a good job. Sometimes you're going to get irritated. Maybe you'll sometimes not fast really very strictly. Maybe sometimes you'll forget your prayers. But if you apply yourself, the time you spend, even if it equates, let's say, to the 11th hour, God will help you and change you. This is the time now to cast off the works of darkness. And don't believe for a moment that there are not works of darkness in you. If you believe that, and you've actually been listening to my sermons for any length of time at all, I could say that you haven't heard them. Because there are works of darkness in us. There's jealousy and anger and lust and pride and lack of compassion and empathy for others. All the rest. Those are works of darkness. And the armor of light is to love. To be at peace with yourself, with others, with God. To have a heart that feels the pain of others. Because God's heart is like that. We are to feel pain for others' pain. I can't say that that's always a pleasant feeling, but it is a peaceful one. It is one that is right in the heart. I hope you have that feeling. Because it's really being close to God. The scripture says, ye are gods. And when we have compassion for others, we are like God. So this Lent is to develop these virtues, compassion, humility. Now we use terms, like I said a moment ago, like it's the fast, it's a time of repentance. Well, I used to use words like that a lot, but I don't believe that anymore. That's not the first and primary focus of Great Lent. It is to put off the works of darkness, to put on the armor of light. It is because our salvation is nearer to us than it ever has been, and it will become nearer yet during this fast. It is a time of renewal. It is a time of becoming more complete. It's a time of healing. That's what Great Lent is. Now, you got to put in the work. If you don't put in the work, then you won't really feel this. Yeah, that's why you got to fast. That's why you should come to the services, the penitential services, and do the prostrations and say the prayer of Saint Ephrem every day, twice a day. You got to put in the work, and then God will fill you. Not all the way, because you're not ready to be filled all the way yet. Neither am I. He will only fill a vessel to its capacity, but he will then cause the capacity of that vessel to increase so that we will be completely filled with God. So this Great Lent is part of the process of us becoming completely filled with God. I'll explain to you, the scripture right here explains to us why we fast. It doesn't mention fasting in this context, but it is about fasting. If you think of fasting in the more broad sense of not being self-indulgent. And this is a time to learn to not be self-indulgent, but instead to think of others, to think of God, to think of your neighbor. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This is why we fast. Because we want to knock out the lusts of the flesh. Now, if you really look at sin, almost all sin is because of, broadly speaking, lust. Desire that we should not have, that is more than we should have, where we are thinking of ourselves and not of others and not of God, where we are making provision for our flesh because our flesh tells us, I want this, I want that. And so we get it. And I'm speaking now in a general sense. I'm not speaking just of acquiring material goods. Our greatest sins are those in our heart. The ones we think may be the ones that nobody else knows about. And we are to learn to not make provision for these sins, provision for the flesh. And fasting is an incredible teacher, a mentor, to train us to not make provision for the flesh. Everyone needs to eat, but we don't need to eat fine foods all the time. We don't need to eat to excess. We don't need to spend inordinate amounts of money and time and our thoughts on food. We need to eat to be alive. And during the fast, we should focus on not making provision for the flesh. And so, we fast for that reason. To train ourselves. And God indeed will make the kingdom of heaven, our salvation, closer to us than before when we first believed. And in the beginning of this fast, from the end to the end, at the end, our salvation will be closer to us than at the beginning. That's something to be excited about. That's something to be happy about. There'll be labors. If you work hard from the beginning, you'll get tired. I get tired in the middle. Sometimes I get tired actually more towards the middle of the second part. And the third week, of course, is the middle. Sometimes that fifth week I get very, very tired. It's okay. God will honor your efforts. And the beautiful thing about Christianity that I can't fathom it. It's too much for me to really be able to understand. It's so beautiful that my flimsy little efforts, God will take and make them magnified. And the things that I cannot do today, I will be able to do tomorrow. The same with you. So you struggle. Yes, fast. If you haven't fasted before or you fast poorly, talk to me. We'll talk about fasting. But that shouldn't be your focus. It must be that you want to awake out of your sleep, you must be aware that you're asleep. You must be aware that there are works of darkness in you, and that it is time to cast them off. Now, the gospel ties in with this idea of awakening out of sleep and casting off those works of darkness and having the armor of light put on in the following way. And it's whenever I read this, my pastoral heart feels very sad. And the reason it feels sad is because the meaning is clear, but very few people really understand it. Because they don't understand what a treasure is. The world certainly doesn't understand. Let me read the scripture and then explain. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Great Lent is a time to become more aware of the real treasure. Not the fake treasure, not the fool's gold that is in the world. Not satisfying our flesh, making provision for it. Not our ego, not our entertainments, not temporal things, but eternal things. And all my Christian life, I have been seeking to understand what true treasure is. You might think there's an obvious answer to that. Yes, union with God, being with God. And that's true. But in any subject, to become a master at it, you must practice it continually. And to be a master at Christianity, you must understand what treasure is and seek after it continually. Great Lent is a time for you to learn what true treasure is, for you to learn what the works of darkness are and what the armor of light is, for you to cultivate in your heart this yearning, this great desire that actually causes pain in the heart. As in one who is separated from a loved one for a long time. This pain that drives you to pray, to forgive your brother, to struggle, to go beyond what you normally do. It's an exciting time. As your pastor, I pray that you take full advantage of it. And I beg you to take full advantage of it. Because our salvation will be if we struggle carefully closer to us at the end of Great Lent than it was at the beginning. And something will change in you. There will be good changes in your heart, and all will be well with your soul. May God help you to discover what true treasure is and to seek after it during this Lenten period. Amen.